This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Southern coast of England, there are seagulls flying higher, still higher than before. It's as though they've been hoisted like a flag. When the battle has been won, you can hear the ocean roar. On Marina Harbor, there's a good sailing, and they leave me standing on the shore.
Good evening. We've just stopped it at the crescendo, Paddy. We've stopped it at the crescendo. This is the Brighton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. If you'd like to get in touch with us, 0208 7020 558. I'm Matt Beadle, and I'm joined, as always, by Josh Goldsmith of the Together podcast. Josh, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, good, buddy. Good. Great to have you on. Aston Villa this weekend.
Yes. Yep.
The Premier League is back. Now, I think we briefly discussed the international break last week. Of course, a certain Mr. Connolly making his debut for Ireland. He was buzzing about that one. But Premier League football is back. Are you happy with that? I know the international break is sometimes a welcome break from the thick and fast action of the Premier League. But it feels like it's gone on forever, this one, doesn't it?
It does. Honestly, I feel like every single one goes on forever. I hate it. I like to be able to just, especially it feels like right at the start of the season, they come so thick and fast, the international breaks, that you never really get that full taster of the football until Christmas. But they're back now, so we're good. And it did come at a good time, like you were saying, for us. We had a lot of injury problems. And Potter has said in his press conference this week that a lot of them seem to have cleared up. So I guess it was a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, absolutely. A few players obviously back. Leandro Trossard is, of course, one. They're saying that Solly March and Shane Duffy are also available. So good news.
Yeah, definitely. Davey Proper as well has also been ruled fit, thank God. So we have a lot more options and a lot more positions now. So it gives Potter a really good, difficult amount of choices as opposed to having to fill in where he can. He has a lot of choices to make this week. So it'll be interesting to see how he lines up.
So what's your view? I mean, I know that there's been calls from the fans. A lot of that was in the press this week in the sense of do not change it. The team that played against Spurs were brilliant. You smashed them 3-0. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But that's not always the way in the Premier League, is it?
No, and I think that Potter is very... He takes every game as it comes. He analyzes each one and decides what's the strongest 11 to put out. And honestly, he hasn't really got any decision wrong, barring the Chelsea game yet. So when he's gotten most lineups correct, no matter how weird they look, I've got to be on board with whatever he chooses to go for. And at the end of the day, like whatever he picks, he's the boss. So I'm sure he'll be able to get everybody else on board.
I feel like you're starting to adopt the in Potter we trust notion, Josh.
110%.
Well, interestingly, I mean, he said, you know, we're not at our max, isn't he? That's one of the quotes that's been picked up. It's an exciting thing. Do you buy into that? Do you think there's still plenty more to come from this side?
Yeah, I do. And the reason I believe in that really strongly is because of the 180-degree turn we've had to change in tactics going from Hughton to Potter. It's not like we went from somebody who was already playing free-flowing attacking football or anything like that. He's really had to change the entire ethos of the club around from playing from defensive, grind out the result kind of games to attacking free-flowing confident football. And then not only that, but in the background, he's also having to change the whole ethos to developing the youth and bringing the youth through. Aaron Connolly was someone who never got a chance last year. despite banging in goals for fun in the under-23s. And now he and Alzate and others again in that shot. So I think there's still a lot more to come from them. And yeah, but from what he said, I definitely agree that there's more to come from the team.
I've got a pro and a con for you ahead of this game, Josh. The first one is that Neil Maupay, who we've already spoken about, scored for Brentford in both of their games against Villa last season. And also, he scored 22 goals and 52 league appearances for Brentford under Dean Smith. So that's all kinds of, you know, football statistical coincidences you've got there. Secondly, I mean, that's a good thing. The bad thing, I suppose you could say, is that Brighton have failed to score in 6 of the past 8 Premier League away games. And in total, it's 23 of 42 since they were promoted. Now, I know that's not that many games, but in terms of teams to have played in more than 2 full Premier League seasons, that's a 55% ratio, which is actually the highest in Premier League history.
Yikes.
I told honestly, you I had a pro and a con for you.
Referring to the con first, after watching Luton for 2 years in the Premier League, even when we were really at our best at home and we were beating teams like Manchester United and Arsenal at home and looking really great under Chris, because there were great times, away from home was always an absolute slog under Chris. He set up to take a draw at most and just be happy with what he could get. So the stat doesn't surprise me, but on paper it sounds horrific.
It does, doesn't it? So, I mean, what are you attributing that to just the style of play that Chris Hughton used to implement? Because, you know, Premier League's a 38-game season. You have to win your home games. You have to get something on the road. What was it about Hughton? I mean, do you think it was Hughton specifically, or do you think it was just the fact that you were bedding into the Premier League?
I think it was a bit of both. I think that he was very much well aware of the state of this team and where we were, and he knew that he couldn't do the same thing he used to do in the Championship, which was that kind of flat 4-4-2, really attacking football, and that was the reason we went up, and he had to change it around. He tried to learn from his mistakes at Norwich and what he could do better, and he implemented what he thought would work, and it really did, because up until that last kind of 6 months under Chris, we were incredibly good at home. You know, like I said, we were beating teams like Manchester United, Arsenal, and taking points off of Spurs. So I'm not entirely surprised by the stat, but at the same time, it was bad watching him play away from home. They did set themselves out to do just kind of must not lose as opposed to must win.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to bring it back to more stats and good stats as well, because when you look at goalkeepers over the past couple of seasons, you know, those who spring to mind in terms of good stats, I suppose you could say, clean sheets and saves made, well, not particularly saves made, but Edison, Alisson, Kepa, De Gea, always up there with clean sheets. And yes, you know, we're only 8 games down, but already this season, 3 is top of the charts for clean sheets made. Adrian is not in that. David De Gea is not in that. Edison is, but so is a Matt Ryan. He does share it with Rui Patricio, Dubravka, Fabianski, Guaita from Palace, Dean Henderson from Sheffield United, and Nick Pope. So it's a motley crew in there, but the fact that Matt Ryan's in there says a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, and it also makes my fantasy team look a lot better, because I've got Matt Ryan in goal.
Oh, so. You went with faith. Nice. It's a lot of faith in your own man.
Yeah, we have historically just been so good at the back, even under, like, until we really fell apart at the end of last season. That was really the thing that Brighton were known for. I'm sure you'll probably remember every kind of journal and reporter would always just say that Albion was so solid at the back, and we were. So I felt that we already had the blueprint to be successful at the back, and it was just getting the attacking football going. So I'm not entirely surprised by it, but it is nice considering, you know, we have already played Man City and Spurs and, well, we took a result against Spurs, so we're already playing some of the top teams and we're not getting hammered by anyone, really.
No, and just your take on Matt Ryan. I do a lot of stuff on goalkeeping with Richard Lee from Love Sport, one of our very presenters who played for Watford and Brentford, amongst a few other clubs, of course. But we often speak about Matt Ryan, and he's an interesting character because he came over from Spain. Obviously, he spent some time with Valencia, had a loan spell with Genk as well, but most of his football was played in Australia. I know he played for Club Bruges as well, but in terms of top end football, he hadn't really experienced that much apart from that spell in La Liga. Only played 10 league games for Valencia in those 2 years that he was there. He's come over to Brighton. He's effectively been a pillar of consistency, hasn't he?
Yeah, he really has. And it just says a lot for Australian goalkeepers. They just keep cranking them out. I don't know what they're feeding them over there, but they enjoy playing in goal. And he, you know, a lot of people have said that, or rather raised issues about his height and about his consistency with, like, is it really him or is his back or is his front two, you know, like Lewis Dunk and Shane Duffy, the reason he's keeping so many clean sheets. But I mean, you only need to take a look at the Spurs game to see some absolutely class saves that he made against Harry Kane and Moura and others. So he's really great, and he's developed even more this season because Potter wants him to play the ball out with his feet. And it was one thing that I know a lot of fans felt a little bit worried about because it's not something that we had seen him do. So it was a real reassurance to see him so confident in the Spurs game, especially. He'd been a bit shaky at the start, but he looks great.
Adam Webster as well is another gent that I want to talk to you about. You know, I've seen the quote that he's made at the top of Brighton's Twitter this week, just on the game with Aston Villa. He cost a lot of money in the transfer window. How has he performed so far? Because from what I can gather, plaudits have been pretty good.
Yeah, I was blown away when I saw the price or like the rumoured fee for that man, because I really didn't know a great deal about him. I saw all the reviews come out from Bristol City, it was, right, that had him before?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah. I saw a lot of the fans on Twitter and on social media and stuff were waxing lyrical about him, but I didn't really know much about him. But he came in after, I think it was Duffy had picked up a knock, and unfortunately that seems to have knocked Duffy out full-time because Webster debuted away at Manchester City and he's not been in the side since because he played so well. He is really confident on the ball. He makes some crazy runs forward. It scares me to death sometimes, but he is a really confident centre-half for a man who's, you know, he's about four games into his Premier League career and it looks like he's been playing there for 3 years. He was someone who flew totally under the radar for me, but I'm delighted with it now.
Good stuff. Well, of course, it is Aston Villa this weekend. We're going to get Ryan Pitcher on from Under a Gaslit Lamp. You two can go head-to-head at it next.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
This is the Brighton Fan Show on Love Sport, and it is time for the opposition view. Delighted to say that I'm joined by Joshua Goldsmith of the Together podcast. That is Brighton, of course. And on the line with us now is Ryan Pitcher from Under a Gaslit Lamp. Gents, you go head to head this weekend. It's all very, very exciting. And, you know, the first time that the two clubs have met since a goalless draw in March 1983. I'm presuming neither of you remember that one. Josh?
No, I don't. I have been to Villa Park. It was for an FA Cup game, actually. I think we got hammered 3-1 or 3-0. Ashley Young scored a header.
Wow.
Which is not something you see very often. But, yep, I hope the memories are a bit better than that one.
Well, that is rare, as is a Brighton away win. Ryan, what are the chances of that happening this weekend?
Well, funnily enough, I actually predicted 3-0 Villa in the when we spoke the other night.
Indeed.
I'm really confident going into this one, to be honest. I know, obviously, you know, Brighton are coming off the back of that result against Spurs. I think I'm intrigued to see how they're set up because I've been watching a little bit of Brighton this season and shape-wise, you know, they seem to have mixed it up a little bit. I think they were 3-4-3 and then, you know, I think they were 4-4-2 against Spurs. And I just don't know what they're going to come to Villa Park and do, really. But, yeah, we'll see.
Josh?
Yeah, if it makes you feel any better, I don't know what they're going to do either. they really haven't been consistent at all. Potter has changed everything pretty much every game. I think we lined up with four centre-halves at the back against Burnley, so I really don't know what he's going to do. It's part of the fun, though, because last year everyone knew exactly what lineup was coming out under Houghton, so it's a bit of a fresh change for me.
Ryan, there's been some... Sorry, carry on, mate.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, the interesting thing about, you know, the Potter situation is I was surprised, obviously, when they got rid of Houghton, and, you know, Potter's obviously come in, and, you know, he hasn't really done I mean, he obviously did really well over in Sweden, but it's a totally different kettle of fish. And then obviously, you know, did a semi-okay job at Swansea. But I'm not sure what... I didn't understand the change at all. Do you prefer it under par or...?
Yes, I do. The style of football is so much more attractive and fun to watch. And the director, Dan Ashworth, did an interview a couple of weeks ago, just before the Spurs game, and he was talking about the project they're putting together. And for whatever reason, they believe that Potter is the man to bring in that kind of project. So whether he is or not, we'll soon find out. But the style of football is like aeons ahead of what it was before. So I can see why they brought him in. He's young, progressive. And like you said, he did really well in Sweden. So it'll be seen if it can translate into the Premier League. So.
There was the clash earlier on, wasn't there, last month, guys, at the Amex. That was a League Cup clash. I know that Villa won 3-1 on that day, but I'm presuming that we can't really read too much into that considering the side that Brighton put out.
Yeah, I think it'd be silly to...
Sorry, go on.
No, you're right. There's no way you can really read too much into it. The entire team that was put out that night, I can't imagine any of them will be playing. If at all any of them really get on the bench bar and Eric Connolly. So it's going to be a very different look tomorrow.
We had a strong team out of that night, to be fair, in comparison to Brighton. And I was actually surprised, you know. I think McGinn, you know, he played far too long in that game. We were kind of going, you know, is he going to take him off? Because he looked a little bit shattered in the second half. But, yeah, we had a much stronger side. I thought Brighton were quite poor and obviously... You know, Connolly was their kind of standout until I think he came off later on, if I recall. But yeah, he did look lively, and obviously, you know, we saw what he did against Spurs. He's very pacey, you know. But I think that night he didn't really have anyone in support. You know, assuming that they go two up top, I'd expect obviously Maupay to play alongside him. Obviously, you know, he was a player that was being linked with us in the summer, so I would have liked him to come to Villa just for a bit of competition for Wesley. But
an intriguing clash as well, this one, guys. The fact that both teams are looking for back-to-back wins against something that isn't too common for the team, certainly in the Premier League era, recent Premier League era for Aston Villa. Josh, I know we've spoken a lot about Wesley, who you mentioned just then, but that's 4-6 for him in the league at the moment. He's come out, there's been some good interviews with him this week where he's spoken about his humble beginnings and, you know, he effectively came from nothing, but he's really growing into a decent Premier League player, it looks like. Still just 22 as well.
Yeah, I think he'll be... I said at the start of the season, yeah, he'll hit double figures this season comfortably, I'd like to think. You know, I'm intrigued to see what happens in January. Obviously, we do need to give him a bit of competition up top. But yeah, no, he goes through spits and spats. I mean, for a big lad, he's still, you know, not... He doesn't hold the ball up as much as what I'd like in someone, you know, who's got such a presence up there. You know, he is a unit, but he doesn't seem to use his body that well. But no, I mean, he gets himself in good positions and, you know, he puts himself about a bit. And when there's a bit of, you know, it flares up a little bit, you know, and he's always there, you know, he's always protecting and backing up his teammates, which I do like to see, you know.
Absolutely. Right, guys, it has been great having you both on. Ryan, a quick score prediction, if you will.
I'm staying with the 3-0.
It's going with it. So you're going all out for the 3-0 victory.
3-0 all day.
Lovely. Ryan, thanks for coming on, boss.
No worries. All right, cheers.
That was Ryan Pitcher from Under a Gaslit Lamp. Josh, he reckons 3-0. What are you saying? Josh?
Hello?
No, sorry. Yeah, we've got you.
Oh, yeah. Man City could only score 4, so I can't see him scoring 3. I reckon it'll probably be a 1-1 or a 2-2 draw.
Crikey. Okay, so you're not going with the victory. You're staying pretty grounded on this one.
Yeah, because Villa are a good side. And it's funny he mentioned being a bit jealous of us having Mopai, because in one of my podcasts that I did right at the end of last season previewing this, Wesley was one of the strikers I earmarked as someone Albion should look at. So I'm in the same boat, because they went and signed him about 2 weeks later. So I'll be watching jealously of Wesley doing well if he does against us tomorrow.
Indeed. And just before you go, mate, I know we tended to do this a couple of times already this season, but we've had the international break. You've had time to reflect on Brighton's start to the season under Graham Potter. Where do you stand at the moment? Are you a happy Brighton fan? Are you somewhere in the middle?
Very happy. I would have actually honestly been very happy regardless of the Spurs result, but the Spurs result makes it even all the sweeter, you know. So, very happy, 100% behind him. Potter absolutely is the man to take us forward. So that's definitely the verdict from me.
Lovely stuff. Joshua Goldsmith, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Josh Goldsmith of the Together podcast. Brighton facing Aston Villa this weekend. Sorry, a first meeting between the two teams since 1983. That was a goalless draw in the Goldstone Ground back in March 1983. So we're hoping there won't be a repeat of that. Of course, both sides going for back-to-back victories in the Premier League, something Villa haven't done since 2015. Quite incredible there. And of course, Brighton looking for a third consecutive clean sheet. That is the first time since a three-match streak a year ago. So all to play for this Saturday at Villa Park. This has been the Brighton Fan Show. Next up, El Clasico.
This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.